Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. These words of God that flow from the pen of the prophet Jeremiah give a strong and unambiguous testimony of our faith in God's love and His creation of each and every human life. He says, before I formed you, I knew you. And it also gives testimony to the personal identity of every single human life from the beginning in his or her mother's womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. Not a blob of flesh, not a tumor, not an ambiguous it, but a personal, individual you. And so, as believing Christians, Catholics, we hold, as a matter of faith, that a baby in a womb is a human being, an individual person, right from the moment he or she exists in the womb. And because of that, when God tells us, you shall not kill, and then applies it specifically to every single innocent human life, all of us embrace that teaching and understand it to apply in a particular way to the most innocent of human life. You shall not commit abortion. Now, right about now, some of you are already tuning me out. I can hear it. There he goes again, talking about abortion. Or maybe, yeah, Father, I'm pro-life too, but why do you keep preaching about abortion again? You know what? I'm tired of preaching about abortion also. I wish it would just go away, and today I could just preach about how love is patient and love is kind. But it won't go away. And this week it took a terrible turn for the worst, and right here in Springfield. So we can't afford to be tired of talking or listening about abortion. Not today. Our belief that abortion is wrong isn't just a religious belief. Certainly, our faith clarifies, informs, and helps us to understand the significance of this belief. But really, our understanding is rooted in nature and science. And that understanding through science has become clearer and clearer over the last few years. For decades, proponents of abortion used to say, well, that's not a baby. It's just a meaningless, parasitical blob of flesh in the woman. It's part of her body. But science has always told a very different story. And now it tells it even more clearly. For example, scientists can take the DNA from a zygote. The zygote is that tiny one-celled creature that after about 2 weeks develops into what we call an embryo, and after about 11 weeks we call it a fetus, and about 20 years later we call it a man or woman. That tiny zygote, you can take the DNA from that and find not the DNA of the mother or the DNA of the father, but the DNA of a brand new, unique, individual, personal human being. The identical DNA of that person that they will have when you test them 20 years later or 90 years later. Or, for example, at about 3 weeks after that one-celled zygote is formed, doctors can take an ultrasound of the mother's womb and see a live picture of an embryo with a head and arms and legs and fingers and toes. Doesn't look like a frog. It doesn't look like a blob. It looks like a little baby with a great big head. And in about 5 or 6 weeks, the same thing, taking an ultrasound, they can see a little heart beating. Although science also tells us that actually the heart started beating about 3 weeks before that. Science shows us that that thing in the mother's tummy is not a blastocyst, but a real live baby. Now, over the years, this has usually been the most important fact to make to most people who call themselves pro-choice. In my experience, if you talk to someone who says they're pro-choice, if you talk to them calmly and reasonably and respectfully, once you show them these scientific facts, you can usually move them away from being 100% so-called pro-choice to being a little bit, at least a little bit more pro-life, if not completely pro-life. In fact, this has actually happened in our society on a wide-scale basis. Because while the different polls that you read about go back and forth between saying, you know, that 51% of the population of America is pro-choice, the 51% is pro-life, if you dig a little deeper into those polls, you find a very different story. For example, last month there was a Marist poll that came out that showed, again, that about 50%, a little over 50% of Americans self-identify as pro-choice. But again, you dig a little deeper, and that poll found this. It found that 61% of Americans want abortion prohibited altogether after the first 3 months of pregnancy. And it found that 65%, two-thirds of Americans, want the Supreme Court to substantially overturn their decision in Roe versus Wade, either outlawing abortion altogether or giving it back to the states to make a decision on a state-by-state basis. Very different from what you hear people say. That's a fact. And then 75% of Americans, three-fourths, want substantial limitations on abortion. So you see, pro-life is winning little by little, and really it's winning to some extent in a landslide. Except with certain extremists who insist on abortion on demand, without any restrictions or regulations or protections whatsoever. Extremists like the former senator from New York who ran for president 2 years ago, who was a champion for partial birth abortion. That's when the baby is actually being born and about halfway out, and then they kill it. Or extremists like those in the New York legislatures and the governor of New York, who just about 2 weeks ago passed a law that made abortion legal up until 40 weeks of pregnancy, full term. But these extremists aren't just up in New York. Frighteningly, sadly, they are right here now in Virginia. As this week, our governor defended his support for late-term abortion. As he said, well, if a mother is in labor, and I'm quoting him, the infant would be delivered, the infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family decided. Think of that. After the baby is born alive, he says, it would still be up to the mother whether that child would live. Friends, that's not late-term abortion. That's not partial birth abortion. That's what we call infanticide. And in almost every state in the union, that is called murder. And sadly, that extremism is right here now in Springfield. Last week, our delegate, Kathy Tron, introduced a bill in the state House of Delegates, essentially calling for abortion on demand up until the full 40-week term of gestation. So, when one of her fellow delegates asked her a question, this is what happened. The delegates asked, so, and I'm quoting, so where is it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she's dilating, would that still be a point at which she could still request an abortion? And then Tran responded, quote, my bill would allow that, yes, close quote. So it doesn't matter that God and His church tell us that it's a human being that we shall not kill, And it doesn't matter that DNA and ultrasound and medical science tells us that it's a living human baby, just as human as you and I are. And it doesn't matter that the vast majority of Americans and Virginians agree with all that. All that matters is that these barbarians think that it's okay to kill any baby whenever you want, up to the point of natural birth, and then you can just let it die or neglect it even after being born. Thanks be to God they didn't have the votes to pass that gruesome agenda. Yet, I'm tired of talking about abortion, and you're tired of hearing it. But you know what? That doesn't really matter. What matters is the lives of babies. The lives of babies 1 minute before they're born and 1 minute after they're born. And 3 months and 6 months and 9 minutes before they're born and 3 months and 6 months and 9 months after they're born. So, do not worry. Have courage and zeal. Don't let these barbarians drive us into silence either out of fear or out of simple weariness. Rather, take these new threats against the unborn as a rallying call. And as we read in today's first reading, it said, "Gird your loins, stand up, and tell them all that I command you. For it is God who have made you a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land." Now, sometimes when I get all riled up like this, some people mistake it for hatred. Let me be very clear. Passion has a role in the pro-life movement, but hatred has no role in the pro-life movement. We must stand up and defend babies, but not with hatred against our enemies, but with the fullness of the love of Christ. As St. Paul tells us today, "If I have all the faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing." I love babies. I love their mothers. But we must also love people who don't care one whit for babies and mothers at all. So even as we stand up in righteous anger against extremists, we remember that Christ tells us, "Love your enemies." And so we fight them all the while remembering that love is patient, love is kind, it is not rude, it is not quick-tempered. And when we get discouraged or weary, we remember that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As we now go more deeply into this most holy Mass, let us beg our Lord Jesus Christ to shower His love and grace on our great nation, on our beloved Commonwealth of Virginia, and on our home, Springfield itself. May He make us strong in His love to stand up boldly for the right to life. And may we leave here today, sent by God, strong in His love to proclaim the truth about the dignity of unborn babies to all who will hear. Remembering the word of God given to the prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I have appointed you." You. Praise be Jesus Christ.